This morning we come upon our third attribute of Christ, and we're going to be talking about the all-forgiving Christ. And so I'd invite you to take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, this is the account of Jesus and the Apostle Peter. John chapter 21, we'll be in verses 15 through 17. And I'll begin by reading our passage for us. Follow along as I read this. John tells us, beginning in verse 15, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again, a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Margarita Lasky was an English journalist, a radio panelist, and a novelist who also contributed to over 250,000 additions to the Oxford English Dictionary. Very smart woman. But she was an avowed atheist. Listen to what she said to a reporter in an interview that she did in 1988, just before she died. She said this, quote, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." End quote. Sadly, what she didn't understand is that she did have someone to forgive her. But she would rather live her life without him rather than receiving his forgiveness. Who is that person who forgives? It's Christ, who we've been talking about this weekend. We've been learning about his attributes this weekend as we've seen his omniscience, that he is all-knowing. We've seen his omnipotence, that he is all-powerful. And now this morning we're going to see that Christ is all-forgiving. He's a forgiving Savior. That no matter what you've done, Christ is a forgiving God who restores those who repent of their sin and come to him. Both in salvation, he is a forgiving Savior, and even for believers who, when we sin against him and repent of our sin and come to him, he will forgive us and restore us. And we see this here in John chapter 21 with this account between Jesus and Peter. Now, this encounter here between Jesus and Peter is magnificent because of what has taken place between these two before this event occurs here, before this conversation is had between Jesus and Peter. And in order for us to better understand this encounter here in John 21, we need to go back further in John's gospel to see what's transpired before this. And so take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We're going to be flipping a few pages here this morning. John chapter 13, the setting here in John 13 is the Last Supper. Judas has already gone out to betray Jesus. The disciples obviously didn't know that that was what Judas was going to do. But Judas is gone now, and it's Jesus and the 11. It's 11 because Judas is gone, and they're there in that upper room. And Jesus is telling these 11 that he's going to be leaving them, and that where he is going, they cannot come. And notice what it says in verse 36 of chapter 13. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me 3 times. Now, notice Peter's intentions here. Peter's intentions were to follow Christ. His desires were right. He wanted to be with Christ, and even said that he would lay down his own life for Christ. But what Peter didn't understand here was the weakness of his own flesh. And he was a man who still lived in the flesh, in the sinful body. And he thought that he was stronger than what he really was, which is actually what contributed to his later failure, as we're going to see. His pride and his boasting and his own strength would lead him to one of the greatest failures of his life, which we read about in chapter 18 of John. Turn over there to John chapter 18. We'll pick up in verse 15. This is right after the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is now bound. Jesus is now beginning his trial. Notice what it says in verse 15 of chapter 18. It says, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple that we would know as John. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Peter said, I am not. Denial number one. Then look down at verse 25. Notice what it says there. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? And he denied it and said, I am not. Denial number two. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the other, or of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? This is now the opportunity for Peter to redeem himself, to be courageous, to be the strong man that he thought that he was in the upper room. Lord, I'll give my life for you. I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. But notice what he says in verse 27. But Peter denied it again. Denial number three. And immediately a rooster crowed. Exactly what the omniscient Savior said would happen, happened. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, even to a slave girl, a little girl that's there. No, I don't know him. No, I'm not with him. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he had seen all the things that Jesus had done, the miracles of Jesus healing. He was there when Jesus showed his sovereign power over nature, as we studied yesterday, where he calmed the storm. Peter saw all of that, and yet, in this moment, he denied his Savior. Now, that's the background to the meeting between Jesus and Peter in John chapter 21. Turn back to John chapter 21. Now, at this point, in John 21, this is after the resurrection of Christ. Peter's denial of Christ was during the trial of Jesus, before his crucifixion, but this encounter now in John 21 with Jesus is after the resurrection of Christ. And the amazing thing is that after the resurrection of Christ, Peter wasn't waiting for Christ to come and commission him to his ministry so that he could go out and preach the gospel. Peter wasn't doing that. In fact, Peter had gone right back to the occupation that he had before Jesus called him to be a disciple and a proclaimer of the gospel, to be a fisher of men. Look at verse 2 of chapter 21. Notice what it says there. John tells us, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. And they went out, and they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. I love that. I'm going back. Guys, let's go fishing. They're probably thinking, boy, I wish Jesus were here. We caught nothing. He could tell us just to cast our nets on the other side of the boat or out in the deep in the wrong time of the day, and we would catch a boatload of fish, which is actually what happens. Look at verse 4. Notice what John tells us there. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, do you not have any fish? Do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Sounds like what we studied back in Luke chapter 5, right? A couple days ago. Only this is a different occasion. It's not the same occasion. This is a different one. They cast their nets on the right side of the boat. They have this great number of fish. Peter then jumps out of the boat and he swims over to Jesus because he recognizes now that's Jesus there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Then the other disciples, they get to the shore. They're dragging their nets that are full of fish there in the boat. And when they arrive on the shore, John tells us here in John 21 that Jesus is there and he has a charcoal fire going. You can imagine that on the beach there. We had a fire going last night. And Jesus has this charcoal fire going there and he has fish and bread that's already prepared for these disciples so that they could come in and eat breakfast because it's early in the morning. And so there they are on the Sea of Galilee, on the shores there. Again, most likely in Capernaum, because that's where these guys were from. That's where their fishing business was, which they had gone back to. But then look at what takes place in verse 15. John tells us, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Breakfast is over. Jesus then approaches Peter and he asks him a question. Now, with the last round of questions that Peter was asked that we saw back in chapter 18, it was in a very different context. It was also around a fire. Peter was there warming himself next to a fire. But this is a very different context. You see, the questions that come now to Peter are questions that are not to accuse him like the questions were before. You see, the last round of questions that came at Peter, they were coming from Peter because they wanted to accuse him. They wanted to condemn him. You were with him too, weren't you? No, not me. But here comes another round of questions to Peter. But this time, this round of questions were not accusatory. They were not condemning. In fact, this round of questions were restorative. Notice the first question that Jesus asked Peter here. He says, do you love me more than these? Interesting question, right? Do you love me more than these? What did Jesus mean by this? Who or what are the these that Jesus is talking about? Are the these the love for the other disciples? Meaning, do you love me more than these other guys? Do you love me more than your brother Andrew and James and John? That's probably not what Jesus is asking here. Is Jesus asking, do you love me more than these other disciples of mine love me? Meaning, Peter has the greater degree of love amongst the 11 that are there. It's a possibility. Because Peter announced in the upper room at the Last Supper that he was willing to follow Jesus to the death, showing his love for Christ was greater than theirs. So that's a possibility. But I can't be dogmatic about this, but I believe that Jesus is asking here, referring to these as the fish and the nets and the boat. The fishing business that Peter was a part of. I believe Jesus is asking, do you love me more than being a fisherman? Peter, you've gone back. You've gone back to your old ways, to your business, to being a fisherman. Do you love me more than being a fisherman? That very livelihood that you've now chosen to go back to? I mean, remember what Peter did. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And so then here after the resurrection of Christ, he goes back to his fishing business that he had given up just a few years earlier. And it's possible that Peter is thinking here, I'm not worthy of following this man. Why? I denied him. In a moment of testing, after Peter had announced to Jesus and to the 11 disciples that he would follow Jesus to his death, Peter was challenged about his devotion to Christ, and he failed, and he denied Christ. And so Peter then decides to go back to his former life, to go back to being a fisherman. John MacArthur says it this way, quote, when Peter said, I'm going fishing, he was not suggesting that they do some recreational fishing to pass the time, but rather was declaring that he was returning to his former livelihood. Peter was done with ministry, and he decided to go back to his former life of fishing. Why? Because he failed his Savior. And he thought his ministry was over. And so Jesus asked Peter here, do you love me more than these? More than your fishing business? Think about this. It says in verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. The exact number we even get there. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. This again is another large catch, which means what? Cha-ching. Business. Money. Business is booming now. This is going to be great. Peter was going to do very well in his fishing business with a catch like this. But listen to what Jesus said in Luke 16:13. He says this, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You can't do that, Peter. And that's why Jesus asked this question. Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, think about this. The last time that Peter was asked a round of questions, who did Peter love more than anything? Himself. He loved himself more than anything. When the accusers came and asked if he was with Jesus, Peter knew that he would be persecuted if he said yes. And in that moment, Peter was tested. Do you love Jesus? Or do you love self more? And in his denial, Peter was thinking about himself so that he wouldn't receive the punishment and the persecution that would come if he was to say, yes, I'm with Jesus. That's what happened in Peter's last round of questions. He loved self more. And so now Jesus asked the question about how much Peter really loves Jesus. And what was Peter's response? Look at verse 15 of John 21. Notice again, he says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Notice, first of all, that Peter answers in the affirmative. He says that he loves Jesus. And then he calls him Lord, Master, an affirmation of Jesus' deity here. You are my Lord. Yes, Lord, you know. And then Peter appeals to Jesus what? His omniscience. You know, Jesus. You know that I love you. You see, Peter knows that Jesus is God. He knows that Jesus knows all things. He knows that Jesus even knows Peter's own heart. So what does Jesus then command Peter to do? Look at the end of verse 15. He says, tend my lambs. This here is a command. In the Greek, it's an imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion for what Peter can do instead of being a fisherman. Hey, I got an idea for you then. If you love me, tend my lambs. No, this is a command here. He's commanding and commissioning Peter to the ministry that Peter was first called to by Jesus. Before he had rejected Christ. Before he had denied Christ. And in this commissioning of Peter, Jesus is showing us that he does know Peter's heart. And that he does know that Peter loves him. Jesus knows this. And what's then the responsibility that Peter's given by Jesus? Notice what he says there. Tend my lambs. That word tend there could also be translated as feed. Your responsibility now, Peter, is to feed my lambs. Feed them. Care for them. Care for those who belong to Jesus. That's who the lambs are. They're the believers that Jesus has saved. And Peter now is called to feed them, to tend to them, to care for them, to shepherd them under the chief shepherd, who is Christ. Think about this. This is a man who failed Christ. Three times he denied him. And now he's given the responsibility to feed those who belong to Jesus. Amazing. And in this commissioning, Jesus was telling Peter that he wasn't going to be a fisher of fish, but instead he was going to be a fisher of men. He's going to be a fisher of men, just like Jesus told Peter when he called him to follow him. Peter was going to be a preacher of the gospel and sent out to care for the people in whom Jesus had chosen to save. But notice Jesus doesn't stop there with his questioning. The questioning isn't over for Peter. Look at verse 16. Notice what is said there. He, Jesus, said to Peter again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now remember what we read back in chapter 18 when Peter was standing by the fire? He was asked the second time, you are also not one of the disciples, are you? And what answer did Peter give there? A full forced negative. No, I'm not. I'm not with him. But now to this second question given by Jesus about his love for Jesus, notice what Peter says there. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter gives a second affirmation of his love for Jesus. And again, Peter appeals to the omniscience of Christ. You know, Jesus, that I love you. So what does Jesus then tell Peter? Look at the end of verse 16. Shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. He just said, tend my lambs. Now he says, shepherd my sheep. And this statement, although it's a little different from what Jesus said before in tending his lambs, it's very similar to what Jesus is commanding Peter to be a shepherd. He's called to tend and to shepherd. Really, Jesus is calling him into pastoral ministry. Did Peter understand this? Did Peter follow after this? Did Peter fulfill this ministry? He did. Listen to what 1 Peter 5:1 says. Peter says there, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder." Peter understood the calling to which Christ called him to do, to go and tend the sheep, to shepherd his people. Peter was called into ministry and he fulfilled his ministry. But it was here in this moment when Jesus is questioning him that Peter is restored and commissioned to go and do that. But Jesus wasn't done with his questioning. His questioning wasn't over with Peter. Look at verse 17. He said to him, Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter's mind had to have gone to what Jesus said in the upper room about what Peter would do in denying Jesus, and then what he ultimately did in denying him three times. Jesus asked the same question a third time, "Do you love me?" Why? Why would Jesus do this? Why would he bring up this love a third time? Is Jesus doing it to condemn Peter? To bring up his past? To remind him of his failure? I don't believe that Jesus is doing that at all. I don't believe that's Jesus' intentions at all. So why would Jesus then ask Peter three times about his love for him? I believe it was because Jesus wanted to get the point across to Peter that, listen, he had been forgiven. You denied me three times, but listen, I know you love me. So go and do what I've commanded you to do, because listen, Peter, you have been forgiven. Jesus was putting his forgiveness of Peter on display for Peter to recognize and understand and know that he had been forgiven. Think about this. Did Jesus know that Peter loved him? Of course he did. He's omniscient. He knows all things. Peter even acknowledged that Jesus knew him. But with this heart of love and compassion for Peter, Jesus wanted Peter to know this so that he wouldn't be tempted to go back to his former life, but instead would do what Christ had originally called him to do. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he has been forgiven. Look at Peter's reaction then to this third question. Look at the middle of verse 17. John tells us there, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Notice what John tells us now with this third question. John tells us that Peter was grieved. He was sad. Why? Because Jesus asked this question a third time to him. This moved Peter. Peter knew that he had denied Jesus three times, and now with this third question of Jesus, Peter becomes sad. Peter is grieved over his rejection of Christ. He's grieved that when he was tested before, he failed in his love for Christ. But what's amazing in this word grieved here, this word grieved in the Greek is the word lupeo. And as one commentator says, it says this word is a component of genuine repentance. Why was Peter forgiven? What was his heart? It was a heart of genuine repentance. Was Peter repentant over his sin of denying Christ? He was. How do we know? Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is the trial of Jesus. Peter's there in the courtyard. And Luke tells us of the details of now what's happened after Peter had denied Jesus the third time. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. Luke 22, 61 says this: "The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, 'Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.'" Verse 62, "And he," Peter, "went out and wept bitterly." Peter wept over his rejection of Christ, over his lack of love for Christ. This showed his repentance over his sin of loving self more than loving Christ. Peter was broken over his sin, and it ate him up. And Luke tells us that he wept bitterly. You ever seen somebody like that? Who's just weeping? It's as if they're grasping for air because they're weeping. That's Peter, who is weeping over his sin because he had rejected his Savior. But that weeping shows that Peter had a heart of repentance. And what did that repentance lead to in Peter's life? Forgiveness and restoration. You see, Peter sinned, but he recognized his sin of denying Christ, and he wept over his sin. And this now marked the beginning of his restoration. And Jesus wanted Peter to know this. Jesus wants Peter to know, "Peter, I know you love me. You have been forgiven. You have been restored. Now go and do what I've commanded you to do." You see, when Jesus asks these three questions over in John 21 of Peter, "Do you love me?" He wasn't asking Peter these questions to condemn Peter. He wanted Peter to recognize that because of his repentant heart, he had been forgiven and had been restored to ministry. You see, when you and I fail and we sin against God, the way back to God begins with a broken heart. It begins with the response that Peter had, to weep over your sin. And when we come to Christ with a broken heart, repenting of our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He will do that. You see, our Savior is a forgiving Savior. And not just for unbelievers, but for believers too. He forgives us as well. I love what one preacher says. He says this, quote, "It would seem that some Christians have a message of forgiveness for the unbeliever, but no message of forgiveness for the believer. I'm glad that God does." End quote. God has a message of forgiveness, even for believers. That when we sin against him and we come with a broken heart, repenting of our sin, he forgives us. He restores us. And it was because of Christ's forgiveness that Peter's life was changed. Because of Christ's forgiveness, Peter was commissioned by Christ to go out and preach the gospel and care for Christ's sheep. And it was because of Christ's forgiveness that Peter fell more in love with Christ. That's why Peter could say, Lord, you know that I love you. He fell in love with his all-forgiving Savior. In closing, there was another man who denied Christ. Another one of the disciples who'd followed Jesus in his ministry. Who denied Jesus. Who was that? It was Judas. What was his response to his denial of Jesus? Turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew gives us the account of what happened to Judas after he had denied the Savior. Notice what it says in Matthew 27 and verse 3. It says, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And notice this, the end of verse 5. And he went away and hanged himself. What was Peter's response over in Luke? Peter went out and he did what? He wept bitterly. But look at what Matthew tells us that Judas did. He went away and he did what? He hanged himself. Judas believed the lie of Satan that Margarita Lasky believed. I have nobody to forgive me. Believe that lie. And instead of running to Christ and repenting of his sin and receiving Christ's forgiveness, Judas went out and he hanged himself. He tried to take matters into his own life. He tried to go and make things right with his own money. 30 pieces of silver. Here, I'll give it back. I'll do something about this. He tried to go back and do it on his own instead of running to the Savior and saying, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you. He should have run to Christ. Listen, you will sin against God. None of us is perfect. You will sin against him. But when you sin, don't run away from Christ. Don't be like Judas. Don't try and take it in your own hands. Don't try and solve it yourself. Instead, repent of your sin, weep over your sin, and run to Christ, who is the all-forgiving Savior, who is willing and ready to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There is nothing too big that you have done that Christ will not forgive. He's a forgiving God. And he will forgive you and he will restore you just like he did with Peter. Now, some of you may be here this morning and you've never received Christ's forgiveness and salvation. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins. What should you do? Confess your sin before Christ. Run to the Savior. Repent of your sin and trust in Him alone the only one who can pay the debt for our sin. We sung about it this morning. He's the only one who could pay for that debt of sin that we have against our God. Don't try and take things into your own hand. Don't try and you work your way to Christ. You can't do it. Your good works are not good enough to get you to heaven. The only one who can get you to heaven is the all-forgiving Christ. Come to Him. Repent of your sin and trust in Him alone, and He will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. If you haven't done that, I urge you to do that now. Do that today. May today be the day of your salvation. And for those of you who have done that, remember that you have somebody who will forgive you when you sin against Him. You have an omniscient, omnipotent, all-forgiving Christ. May we grow in our love for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for His amazing love for us. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Him. That when we do sin against you, and we can be like Peter and weep over our sin and run to Christ, who is always stands ready to forgive us of our sin. Father, I pray for anyone who is here this morning who has never received forgiveness and salvation, the forgiveness that Christ offers, who is dead in their trespasses and sin. Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would confess their sin before you, they would repent of that sin and trust alone in Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation that He offers to all who come to Him. Father, we know that we will sin against you, but we thank you for being a forgiving God. God who forgives us of our sin. May we continue to run to Christ. And we thank you for Christ who is always there for us. We thank you for this weekend that we've had together learning about Christ and who He is. May we take these truths that we've learned and apply them to our lives to live it out, to bring glory and honor and praise to your name and your name alone. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.